Isaiah 66, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. The subject this afternoon is brokenness. There are a number of keys that we might think about when we come to revival. One key is always suggested in revival, and that is the key of prayer. Maybe we should ask ourselves this afternoon, when is the last time I said to the Lord, revive me? Or when is the last time I asked the Lord to revive my family? Or when is the last time I asked the Lord to revive my assembly? It seems that revival isn't always in our mind, is it? We get taken up with the things that come and go, and often we forget that God's desire for us is heart revival. Another key to revival, of course, is confession. Honest confession, has often been said, is good for the soul. When is the last time that we have done any real confessing to God and to others? Honest confession. But another key to revival is brokenness. And I've been struck with the fact that God values broken things. God values broken people. If we break anything, we usually discard it. It's no good anymore, so we just throw it aside somewhere. But God values broken things, and God values broken people. James tells us in chapter 4, is it? 6. That he resists the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. And God is determined to resist pride, but God cannot resist the humble. And I love that. It tells me that there's pride, then God is saying, I'm against you, and I will resist you. But it also tells me that he cannot resist the humble. Therefore, if we are a broken people, we have a strong, powerful hand in the heart of God. And he says, I cannot resist you. I cannot fight against you. I cannot hold you back. I cannot resist you. He giveth grace unto the humble. And I thought to myself, if I could get to that place of brokenness, if we could move on to that place of brokenness as the Lord's people, we would then be able to put our hand, as it were, to the very heart of God, and God would say, I can't resist you, because I give grace to the humble. I was thinking of the broken pitchers that were in Gideon's day. I was thinking about Jonah, who was laying on the beach after he came out of the whale, and he was a broken man. And in thinking of the broken pitchers and thinking about Jonah laying on the beach broken, I was reminding myself of what it is to get a fresh into soul winning, is to be broken before God. When Jonah got up, he went to preach the gospel into the city of Nineveh. And when the pitchers were broken, Gideon went on into victory in the battle. God just loves to see us broken so that he can take us up and use it. I was thinking of Mary, who came and she broke a box. And the ointment poured forth is the brokenness of worship. I wonder, are we broken in our worship as we come to remember the Lord? Is there a tear in our eye, or is there a moving, stirring in our heart and love to the Lord? When did we last hear somebody get up and in their worship, in their praise and remembrance, break down and weep? Mary wept as she broke the box of ointment, and as she worshiped, she poured out. I was thinking, too, of that bread that the little boy brought and five loaves, and he gave them all to the Lord. There in his humility and his brokenness, he gave them to the Lord, and the Lord broke them. He took what he had, and he used it, and he multiplied it, and he fed 5,000. I see another man, and as he moves into the garden, he's broken. He's broken. And as he prays earnestly in that garden, he says, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but thy will be done. What was breaking his heart? What was breaking him? The thought that he was soon on that cross to taste the death of the second death, to have pressed upon him that eternal separation and those moments of hours of that suffering as he was upon Calvary's cross. And he comes out and he says, this is my body, which is broken for you, providing salvation for a guilty world. We meet people today that are broken in life, the loss of loved ones. I remember a number of years ago, as we just brought a young brother up out of the water in an accident, and he was gone. Came into the house of the father, and I said to him as he was on his knees by the daybed, I said, Ralph, I said, he's in better hands. The man was broken. He wept. He didn't know what he was going to do. I went to see the wife, who was 5 months with a child, and as she was there, in a state of shock, and some Christian sisters around, I said, Greta, I said, I don't know just what to say. She knew he was gone. Fine young Christian man. She was broken. But you know, it's a strange thing sometimes how different things can come out of brokenness. And she looked up and she said, well, Mr. Campbell, maybe the Lord will be here soon, maybe even tomorrow. She said, maybe the Lord had this too for another reason. Maybe somebody is going to be blessed and saved because of Ron's need. They go to the hospital and saw a young man who was very active in his own fishing vessel and his neck with an accident and his neck was broken and he was sitting in a wheelchair. So I looked at him and he looked at me. He wept. Brokenness. And it comes in so many different ways. And sometimes it's a physical thing. Sometimes it's the loss of thing. But you know, in all these cases of brokenness that I've mentioned to you, each one of them had a hope. It wasn't a brokenness without hope. And I thought that was a lovely thing. Conversion is a form of brokenness. And when we see a sinner that's broken down with tears and weeping, we say to ourselves, my, there's brokenness in God. God can't resist that. He just can't do it. A little man in Red Bay many years ago, when we went there, God was blessing and souls were getting saved, and finally the opposition got on us, and we had to leave the Orange Lodge where we were preaching, and this little man, he was the poorest man in the whole place. But he happened to have a big family, and therefore he had a large kitchen porch and an inside kitchen, and he came up and in a broken way he said, Mr. Campbell, he said, Mr. Joyce, he said, I haven't got very much, but he said, if you want to use my house for meetings, he said, I'd sure love you to come down. Me and my wife. He said, well, thanks very much. We've been glad to go. And you know, it wasn't only the brokenness of that poor man and his wife opening their humble little dwelling for us, but it was an amazing thing to see as the meeting time come, people coming out of their house carrying their chairs down the road to come to the meeting. When we finished the meetings, with the lamplight, that man and his wife and several others had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And the last meeting we had before we went away, they sang, God be with you till we meet again. And I'll tell you, there was brokenness. We were all broken. Against the God who built the sky, I fought with hands uplifted, despised the mention of his grace, too proud to seek a hiding place And that's the heart of man as he runs from God. But thank God, God is a faster runner. And he outran us. And he got us. And he brought us down. But after we get saved, sometimes he has to do the process over again. Not in conversion to the salvation of the soul, but converting us again, like Peter, where we have the brokenness of tears. And when we come to that place where we are like the colt, and the Savior takes us and he breaks us so that we can be used for his glory. I was thinking of some of the elements in brokenness. And I think probably one of the hardest things that we, that there, you know, is a barrier before us when it comes to brokenness is just these three little things. I'm wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. That seems to be the hardest thing that we have to do. But when you find a person that says, I'm wrong, I'm sorry, please forgive me. You got a person that's in brokenness. Be careful of that person. Don't be rough on them. Don't be hard on them. Because I'll tell you why. God is for them. And God can't resist that humble expression of their hearts. I'm wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. They're on God's ground right away. Can you say that? Can I say that? Is there someone that I should be saying that to? Is that real confession? Not like the confession of the lady who said, well, if I've done anything wrong, I'm ready to be forgiven. Maybe sometimes we're like that. Some of the elements then of brokenness is, first of all, repentance. And repentance, of course, is that I was wrong. Then the other element that comes in is confession. I'm sorry I did this or I did that. And then the third thing is forgiveness. Please forgive me. If someone has wronged me, I should first then, if I am broken before God in my own heart, how about brokenness in honoring others above ourselves? Abraham said to Lot, take all the land you like, it's all right. He said, I'm willing to wait upon God. And he didn't lose out. He honored, willing to let others have the very best. And you know what happened, don't you? God said to Abraham, you're my... I'm going to be your exceeding shield and great reward. And Abraham never lost that. They said about a man named Dr. Ironside, he's written some books, he was a very gracious man. And sometimes people would talk to him, like people talk to preachers and say, well, I just didn't see it this way, or something like some secondary matter, maybe something that wasn't all that important. And Mr. Ironside would say very graciously, when we get to heaven, one of us is going to be wrong. And he said, perhaps it will be me. You can't argue with a man like that. I was at a conference a while ago, and there were two brethren, and they were directly opposed in their views as to the divorce issue. Now, no Christian believes in divorce, we know that, but there are differences. And both these men were directly opposed, but they came to the conference together. They were together and ate together, and they had fellowship together. And I thought to myself, that's wonderful. So I called the preacher over. In fact, Mr. Goff was with me, and we had a little talk with him. I said, how is it you brothers get along so well when you're so far apart in your views? Well, he said, we talk about it. I don't see it his way. He doesn't see it my way. Well, we don't believe the Lord wants us to break fellowship over it. Ah. That's a very gracious attitude. You can't argue against people like that. You just can't do it. Another thing, too, in brokenness, I think, is being willing to be dead to public opinion. I told the story of W.P. Nicholson, who was a man used greatly in revival, and He was with the Salvation Army in the beginning of his ministry, and the officer asked him as he was going to come among them, he said, do you mean business for God? He said, well, Mr. Nicholson said, yeah. He said, I think I do. Okay, he said, I want you to put on the sandwich board, and I want you to spend 2 hours downtown walking around. And Mr. Nicholson said, I never forgot that event in my life. Written on the sandwich board was simply this, dead to public opinion. And I'm beginning to find out that as Christians or as a preacher or where you work or what you do, you can't worry about public opinion. What you do to be concerned about the man up there, and you have to be concerned about what God says here to us as we read the word. Thinking of something else, confessing other people's sins as ours. Did that? As he came before the Lord in prayer, we have sinned. Put himself right in it. He wasn't over there where the walls were broken down, but he saw his responsibility there. One of the things that spoke to me as a young man when I first went to Newfoundland, some of you know Mr. Harris, was when we had to carry out a case of discipline. And it was kind of new to me, but I remember that morning he got up. And I can remember other times since. And he got up and he was broken. Got the words out in a broken way. And then he looked at the assembly and he said, we're all responsible, I'm responsible for this. And I thought to myself, how could he be responsible? He didn't fall into the sin. You see, what he meant was this. If we had been loving and caring and the Spirit of God had been on us, that brother could have been kept from a fall. Maybe we should remember that next time when there's trouble in our assembly. Maybe we should remember that sometime when we think about others, to confess other people's sins as ours. Then I think of another one, and that is obedience is another way of brokenness. Our brother Mark Robinson was reminding us in his farewell on Wednesday night of his experience of how God spoke to him in 1 Samuel, of how the yoke was put upon the kine or the cows as they were going to carry the ark and send it back to Jerusalem. It had been kidnapped by the Philistines. And he said, you know, as those animals went, they had submitted themselves, that's brokenness, to a yoke. And their calves were locked up, and they were lowering as they went, but they went straight ahead as they went, and they turned not aside to the right or to the left. Brokenness and obedience. They had the dignity of carrying the ark. And you and I are to be obedient to the Lord, and as we do so and we take the yoke of Christ and learn of him, we have the dignity of carrying Christ. And the men of Bethshemer were glad when they saw the ark. People will be glad when they see Christ. And the ark was taken, the cart was taken, and it was used for firewood to consume the oxen in a burnt offering, sacrifice. And that's the way our life should be, in obedience unto God, even unto death. Pray for our brother and sister and their little boy. We were to the airport. It's kind of touching to see a lot of Christians that were able to get there. The father, a stately man, he was an army man, doctor here in the city of Vancouver, and the mother. And as they were there, in that setting, they were holding back the tears, and so were a lot of other people. They were like the cattle going out. They felt in their own soul the loss of the fellowship of Christians, strange land they were going to, a father and a mother that's not saved, all kinds of things. But they were going out in obedience, and they were carrying the ark. They were carrying Christ into the regions beyond. And I think we should be praying that another young couple, men, or others will be raised up to go into that land of Korea, to be workers together with them. We need to see others going out into the field. You know, I believe that's the first couple that's been sent out of Vancouver for a very, very long time, and yet we have a lot of potential, but there doesn't seem to be the power to grip them. Maybe they're not putting themselves before the Lord in obedience. Lord, if it's to Korea, I'm willing to go. Perhaps maybe if we had some of that brokenness, we would see more of that. Well, there's other places we need to be broken. I think sometimes in families, we think about children, especially Christians' children. You ever think about it? Young ones here? Being a little bit broken instead of hard in your family life, in your attitude to your father and mother? Wouldn't that be lovely? Trying to appreciate what your mother and father are trying to do for you? And show a little bit of a broken spirit and submissiveness and honor the Lord that way. That's brokenness. That's revival in the family. Maybe a little brokenness between with a father and a mother, too, with the children. Maybe a little brokenness between husband and wife. You know, you come home busy, you're tired, and you say that word, and it's just not like it should be, you know. It hasn't got the right tone, you know what I mean. And she picks it up, and she thinks, oh. And then a little something here, and pretty soon, you know, there's something there that's broken. Broken fellowship. There needs to be brokenness in the family. Needs to be brokenness with the children. Needs to be brokenness with a husband and wife. Needs to be brokenness in the assembly. Brother, I'm sorry. I've had some bad feelings. Sorry I said that. Remember those three words. I'm wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And I believe if we put that in action where it's needed, God will send us a revival.